Welcome Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
Sarah, good afternoon to you. How are you this afternoon?
Hi, a bit chilly.
Yeah, well, I had a look, by the way. It is only going to get better. Not hot, but better. We're going to average about 17 for the next week or so. So, yeah, things are looking up, Sarah. You raise an interesting topic this week, as always. Is Africa the new site of liberalism? And what really I find amazing about that topic is why would you say that? What gives you any inkling that that could be the case?
Okay. The IRR is a partner of the Atlas Network, which is a very large NGO in the States who in essence, their function is to promote economic freedom around the world and with the range of other freedoms such as rule of law, etc. Now, they've just had a two-afternoon webinar for the African partners and recipients of funding. And it's absolutely fascinating to watch. I actually went to a three-day conference in Nairobi last year and met a lot of the people from across the continent. And obviously they are mostly young people who have a hugely developed sense of classical liberalism and particularly economic freedom. And the sense being that what will make Africa improve and the countries in Africa improve is economic freedom above all. And there are all sorts of, the projects are huge, but what's fascinating is the eagerness, the hard work and the quality of the delegates. I mean, you've got young academics who are well versed in the philosophy. And then you've got people who are just trying to make the smallest dent. And to give you some idea, the countries that have been involved are places like Kenya, Sierra Leone, Burundi, South Sudan, Rwanda, Cameroon, Uganda, Ghana, Senegal, the Ivory Coast, and the DRC. So it's a huge range of countries, both some better off than others, and some very, very poor. And I mean, I remember a young chap, his name I cannot remember, he runs an organization to promote liberalism, particularly to students. Very, very bright from Nigeria. And he was telling us that one of the programs that they had recently initiated was a program to get young men away from northeast Nigeria to teach them about classical liberalism and to get them away from the potential of being taken over by Boko Haram. Yeah. So, you know, really courageous, courageous stuff. Now, they have an award, an annual award for Africa, what they call the Africa Liberty Award, and I actually nominated Big Daddy Liberty for this award. And what's great is he came in the three finalists, but the finalist was an organization in South Sudan that educates women on their rights and particularly their rights to own property. And the work they've done and the successes they've achieved are absolutely astonishing. And we know that South Sudan is as close to a failed state as you can get. And in fact, the young guy who runs it, who I met last year, said that one of the, you know, they had a seminar last year, which they'd arranged, and they'd got food and snacks and drinks and chairs, et cetera, et cetera. And they had to cancel it literally at the last minute because hostilities flared up. So the passion for free marketeering and for free markets and for being able for people to have control over their own lives, particularly under regressive regimes, it really is for someone like me is very inspiring. And particularly given the fact that as everyone is trying to sort of drag their countries into a more liberal economic space, we have our president reminding us that the state should get more involved in the economy. So
I hear you, and I find that completely and utterly fascinating. What I'm just wondering as you're talking is there not a process that one has to go through? So many of those countries you just referred to have fought and won their anti-colonial struggles eons ago. They've gone through the socialism. They've seen it hasn't worked, and they probably have arrived at this thing that, you know, maybe there's got to be a different way, and sense has dictated that classical liberalism is probably the way to create wealth. Is it not inevitable that we have to go through that socialist We have to see that it's not quite the utopia that it's meant to be.
Yeah, it is. I hate to imagine that it is inevitable, but what makes it really tragic in South Africa's case is most of the countries that went through some or other form of socialism went through it on liberation. So it was immediately after defeating colonial powers or getting their independence, they became socialist states. And then some more or less, it's obviously a tricky matter, but there's, for many, I mean, the status of countries like Ghana and Cameroon are growing. I mean, they're getting like 5% growth in GDP at the moment. Obviously, it'll be hit by COVID, but I mean, that's where they were starting off, whereas we were starting off less than naught at the beginning of this year. So, and we started off by there being enough common sense to say, look, the socialist route actually isn't going to be what will grow us. And for the first 10 years, we went a more or less commonsensical economic route, and we grew as a result, without a doubt. Now we've got the kleptocracy followed by the desire to push through the socialism, even though everyone else has been through it and failed.
Oh, gosh. It leaves me kind of speechless because what a waste of time and energy. You know, just leapfrog. That's what the whole world's about now, leapfrogging technologies. Let's leapfrog that stage and just, like, work towards prosperity.
Everyone else is.
Absolutely. But interesting to hear that change is afoot in the continent, Sara. Very, very, very interesting. In a place like Rwanda, just absolutely booming by all accounts. So who knows, maybe that is a model that could be repeated here. Sara, we're going to leave it there. As always, I'm so grateful to you. Thank you so much. And we've got a date same time next week.
Cool. Thank you.